This message is presented to you by Pastor James Moore and New Life Community Church in Kansas City, Missouri. For more information or to donate, please visit newlifekc.com.
Did you know that not everyone has been brought up to smile? Years ago, when McDonald's restaurants invaded Russia, the bosses, you know, who were all American, by the way, the bosses over there insisted that the Russian young people working behind the counter would give the standard Mickey D smile. And guess what? The Russian customers were outraged and insulted because in Russia, smiling at strangers means you're making fun of them. Who knew? So how did Mickey D solve the problem? They hired personnel that they called smile explainers to shout into bullhorns at the customers in line, "When you reach the counter, you will be smiled at. That does not mean that you're being made fun of." Doesn't that seem strange? But the fact remains, not everyone's been brought up to smile. Reminds me of a news article a while back about an organization called Depressives Anonymous. Yeah, there really is such an organization. Anyway, this particular branch of Depressives Anonymous banned several people from their organization because they weren't depressed enough. Well, I guess there's worse things than being banned from a group because you're not depressed enough. On the other hand, maybe some of those people who are banned from the group felt so bad about it that now they actually are qualified for admittance. You know, they really are depressed. I mean, who knows? But the truth is, some people do have difficulty, it seems, with the task of being happy. Could it be that many people also have real difficulty feeling a sense of gratitude? I think this is an appropriate question to consider during this Thanksgiving season. And I trust you all did have a nice Thanksgiving this past Thursday. Let's look today at Luke 17, beginning with verse 11. It says, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance, called in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' And when he saw them, he said, 'Go show yourselves to the priests.' And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, 'Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? "Good question, Jesus. What happened to the rest? Too busy? Perhaps. Too self-occupied? Yeah, more likely. But could it be that a few of the 9 who didn't say thanks simply didn't feel all that grateful? Could it be that they still felt like outcasts? Were they thinking to themselves, 'Okay, I'm healed, but I still have to get a job. I still have to support myself. I lost everything I had while I was sick. I mean, my whole family turned against me. What do I do now?' And so, rather than feeling grateful for what had been done for them, maybe they were more anxious. Maybe they were even terrified about what lay ahead. Listen, people react to life so differently. The old adage about those who see the glass as half full and half empty, it's really apropos. Some people feel like the little boy who went to a birthday party, and later when he got back home, his mother asked, said, "Bobby, did you thank the lady for the party?" And he said, well, I was going to, but the girl ahead of me said, thank you. And the lady told her not to mention it. So I didn't. Hey, there are people who live in million-dollar homes and drive the finest cars, have unlimited resources, who won't even pretend they are grateful on Thanksgiving. They are even a little aggrieved that they don't have more. Meanwhile, there are people in small huts in South America and Africa who own nothing that would count as, nothing we would count as valuable anyway. Those people who offer a sincere prayer of gratitude to God each and every day for the little bit they do have. I read that during John Wesley's student days, there was a poor porter who knocked on Wesley's door one evening, asked to speak with him. And during the conversation, Wesley observed the man's thin coat. And it was a really cold night, and Wesley suggested that he'd better get another coat. And the porter said, well, this is the only one I have, and I thank God for it. Well, Wesley asked the man if he'd eaten, and the porter answered, I haven't had anything today except water to drink, but I do thank God for that. Well, by now, Wesley was growing kind of uneasy in this man's presence, so he reminded him that he better get back to his quarters soon or he'd be locked out. And Wesley said, then what would you thank God for? And the reporter replied, well, I will thank him that I have dry stones to lie upon. Well, Wesley was deeply moved by this man's sincerity. He said to him, you thank God when you have nothing to wear, nothing to eat, and no bed to lie on. What else do you have to thank God for? And this simple man replied, I thank God that he's given me life, that he's given me a heart to love him and given me a desire to serve him. Well, after the man left with a coat that Wesley gave him from his closet and some money that Wesley gave him and some words of appreciation for the witness he'd made, Wesley wrote down in his journal, I shall never forget that porter. He convinced me there is something in religion to which I am a stranger. You know, I'm sure there's many of us who are strangers to this man's faith. Listen to Jesus' very familiar words from his famous Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Once again, people act so differently to life. If I were to survey you who are hearing me right now, took a survey, there would be a significant number of you who are worried sick about the future. And in some, I know in some situations there is concrete reason for you to worry. Like maybe you have a family member who's sick, or a loss of a job, bad report from the doctor. But there are others of you whose worries are just all out of proportion to your difficulties. And that's really sad. Because how can you feel a spirit of thanksgiving if you're obsessed with fears about tomorrow. So I want to say this to you this morning. Thanksgiving requires trust in God. How can we give God thanks if we don't really believe that God is the source of our lives and the source of everything we have? How can we give thanks if we don't really believe that God's will is always, everybody say always, always to our best good? How can we give thanks if we don't believe that whatever comes our way, God will be with us? Well, now some of you may be wondering what this has to do with Thanksgiving, which is what we're talking about this weekend. I mean, why focus on this particular text on the weekend of this national holiday? And the reason is because the same spiritual deficit that produces worry depletes us of our sense of gratitude. The spiritual deficit I'm talking about has to do with our faith. 6-year-old Aaron asked his mother, "What was for dinner?" "Chicken soup," answered his mother. Aaron said excitedly, "My favorite food. Thank you, God." His mother says, "Why are you thanking God? I was the one that made the chicken soup." And Aaron said, "Yeah, but God made the chicken." Listen, little Aaron's on the right track. How many of you, when you were younger, read the story of Robinson Crusoe? Anybody read that or see them? Know who Robinson Crusoe is? You heard of him? No? Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, when Robinson Crusoe was shipwrecked on his lonely island, he was shipwrecked. For you don't know, he was shipwrecked. He took a piece of paper. He wrote in two columns. He'd been there for a long time. So he wrote down two columns. He called one column the evil, and one column was the good. So here's what he said. He says, "I'm cast on a desolate island, but I'm still alive and not drowned like my shipmates were. Hey, I was separated from humankind. I was banished from human society. But hey, I'm not starving." He said, "I had no clothes, but I'm in a hot climate where I don't need them. I'm without means of defense, but I don't see any wild beasts like I saw on the coast of Africa. I have no one to speak to, but God has sent the ship so near to the shore that I could go get all the things I need out off the ship." So Crusoe thus concluded that there was not any condition in the world so miserable, but that there was something to be thankful for. It's all perspective, isn't it? The lesson here is our sense of well-being is not proportional to our circumstances. Our sense of well-being is proportional to our faith in God. Focus on Him. If we know God, trust God, depend on God, then we're able to relax and we're able to give God thanks, whether we have a whole lot or we don't have very much. If we believe that all things work together for the good of those who love God, if we believe that, then we're able to bring a faith perspective to whatever trial or tribulation that confronts us. You see, the key, the secret to worrying less is to give thanks more. The key to worrying less is to give thanks more. It's a life lesson we all need to know. The old hymn counsels us, "Count your many blessings, name them one by one." Yeah, well, that, my friend, is the secret of revitalizing your life. That reminds me of one of those divine paradoxes which makes life worth living. Here it is. We give thanks to God for our many blessings, but the one who prospers from our giving thanks is not God. It's we ourselves. They had a psychology study some time back, and researchers asked a group of college students if they would keep a weekly list of five things for which they are grateful. And the students listed such things as, you know, generosity of friends, the music of the Rolling Stones, wonderful parents. They know those things are what they. So another group of students was asked to track life's hassles. And they listed things like stupid people driving, messy kitchens, that no one will clean, their finances depleting so quickly. And then a third group consisted of adults with chronic neuromuscular diseases. And they were to write down what they were grateful for each day for 3 weeks. And they listed such things as my boss's understanding of my needs, or my paper boy is, I'm thankful for him for being so reliable. And then there's a fourth group. And they also had chronic diseases. They were asked, though, to only recount their burdens. Anyway, according to the results that was published in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology, the participants who counted blessings, whether they were healthy students or chronically ill adults, they all reported feeling more energetic with a heightened sense of mental well-being. They reported sleeping well. They also found that they were waking up more refreshed. They felt optimistic. They felt better about their lives as a whole. They looked forward to making progress. They looked forward to important goals. Interestingly, gratitude also turned out to be measurable in the moral sphere. This is quite interesting. The grateful groups were more likely to help someone with a personal problem. They were more likely to offer emotional support. In other words, counting blessings is a wonderful antidote for stress. According to this study, the key to dealing with stress is to give God thanks daily. So don't distress yourself. Don't distress yourself over things for which you have no control. Instead, give God thanks for your many blessings, for you see, this is the key. This is the secret to happiness. And the first blessing that provides other eternal blessings is the gift God gave by sending His Son so that we could have life. Life now and life forever. Are you grateful for that? Are you thankful for God's unfailing love?
Thank you for listening to this message. For more information, please visit newlifekc.com.